bending down from his great height and pushing out his lips like a child who was just learning to kiss. His wig slipped again. It must be too big for him. That such a thing was possible made Fanny smile. How could any wig be too big for that enormous skull? She laid her palm against his stubbled cheek and kissed him on the lips. Fanny had known Oliver, who was her godfather, literally from the hour of her birth, and she loved him dearly. Her father kissed her, too, and for a moment the three of them stood smiling at one another and holding hands. Across the table the stranger watched, and the mockery had come back into his face. He opened his lips to speak. Fanny turned away before he could do so. Beside her, Oliver Barebone's bride sat alone. A mirror hung on the opposite wall. Fanny saw that she was looking at herself in the glass. Henry stood up and raised his wine. "The bride," he said. The guests rose to their feet and drank. The bride herself, eyes fixed on her image in the mirror, did not acknowledge the toast. When it was over, she tugged Fanny's sleeve and whispered in her ear. Her eyes were on the stranger.
"What a wicked man," she said. "Did you hear what he said to you?"
"Who?"
"That man who's been staring at you."
"No," Fanny said. "I didn't hear."
Rose opened her lips to tell her, but before she could speak, Oliver picked her up like a doll and stood her on her chair.
"Another toast," he said, "to Mrs. Rose Barebones, the most beautiful woman in England, my bride."
While the toast was drunk, the stranger stepped backward through a doorway into the dark room that adjoined the dining hall. Rose pulled Fanny close and placed her lips against her ear.
"He said, 'You'll change your tune,'" she said. "He said—"
Rose did not finish the sentence. Something was happening. She shrieked and squeezed Fanny against her. A fuzzy white cat, all 4 feet extended as it sailed through the air, came flying out of the darkened room into which the stranger had disappeared, and landed in the middle of the table, skidding and knocking over Venetian glass as it went. People grabbed for the animal. Its fur went up, and it hissed and showed its claws as it looked frantically for a means of escape. Yowling, it leaped toward a window. The sash was closed, and the cat went straight through it, punching a clean, round hole in the glass about twice the diameter of its furry body. "By God, Oliver!" Henry cried. "It's a day for cats!" A white cat had appeared in the church that afternoon during the wedding ceremony and walked among the candlesticks. The guests were delighted. No one present had ever before seen a cat at a wedding, much less a cat that could leap through a pane of glass without shattering the whole pane. Were this cat and the cat in the church the same cat? Was it the ghost of Rose's first husband? Who had smuggled it into the house? Who had tossed it onto the table?
"Oh, Fanny," Rose said, clinging to her friend, "you know how I hate cats. He promised me there'd be no cats if I married him."
Although Rose was a widow who had borne 2 stillborn children, she was only 2 or 3 years older than Fanny, and she looked and behaved like a maiden instead of a woman who knew what marriage was. She did hate cats. All her life they had brought her misfortune. Long after the white cat had gone out the window, Rose clung to Fanny and gazed fearfully at the broken window.
"It's all right, Rose," Fanny said. "The cat is gone. There's no more cat."
No one but Fanny paid her any attention. Oliver had gone looking for whoever had thrown the cat into the room. Tipsy women were beginning to lean against the men and hold up their faces to be kissed. They drank more wine and told each other over and over again what the cat had done. Nearly everyone had observed some detail of the cat's wild run down the table that nobody else had seen. Rose did not like these people. They were Oliver's friends, every one of them. Coarse men and blousy women he had met in taverns. None of her people were here. Not a parent, not a sister, not an in-law. She was far from home and alone. In Buckinghamshire, where Rose came from, she was a famous...